You're listening to Focus on the Bible.
How many people don't believe in God? You might be very surprised if you listen or watch a lot of media news to find out what the real numbers are. In America today, the surveys vary some from one to another, but generally about 4% of Americans call themselves atheists. That seems pretty small, huh? It is. 4 out of 100. That leaves 96 others out of 100 not willing to say there is no God. Now, there's another 5% that would call themselves agnostics. So add them together. About 9% of America's population say, I'm an atheist or an agnostic. Now, across the world, the numbers are lower. Only about 7% of people find themselves in one of those groups or the other. 7% of people saying there's no God across the world. Now, for those of us who are believers and who study these things, and especially the Bible, it seems curious that anybody would be against all the evidence we have for God. Think of it. We have a universe to account for. This vast universe had to have a beginning. So what is that beginning? Well, you only have two choices, friend. Either God is the beginning of this universe through his power, might, and wisdom, or the only other choice is you have nothing as the first cause of the universe. So it's an amazing thing to me that anyone would be willing to say there is no God. Rather, we got here by nothing. But nothing can't cause a universe. What are the reasons people give for calling themselves atheist or agnostic? Well, there's one reason that maybe might be a surprise to us. We might be overlooking a factor involved with people who reject God that comes as a surprise. It's not about objective evidence in this case. It's an emotional reason why people reject God, and I think a fairly popular reason. What is that emotional reason to reject God? Let's talk about this. Charles Templeton was at one time the best friend of Billy Graham. Charles Templeton, in fact, was spoken of by some people that he probably had a much brighter future as a preacher than Billy Graham did. But Charles Templeton began to doubt. Charles Templeton reached a point that he was willing to say, I don't think that we can know if there's a God or not. And it was based on an emotional reason. In a great book called The Case for Faith, written by Lee Strobel, Strobel actually interviewed Charles Templeton as an old man and uncovered the roots of his doubt in God. It all began when Templeton considered Alzheimer's disease. He saw someone who had that crippling disease of the mind, and it hurt him so badly. It emotionally impacted him. He began to question God. He even tried to talk Billy Graham out of his faith in the Bible without success. Templeton became bitter. As an old man, near the grave himself, he still was angry with a God who would allow Alzheimer's in a world. That is, in fact, if there is a God, Templeton reasoned, but he couldn't know, and so he dropped his preaching career. As an old man, he stuck with his guns and remained angry, and friend, would you believe that Charles Templeton died with Alzheimer's. Pain, hurt, and sickness is universal in this world. We all hurt. We all have pain. We all struggle. Romans chapter 8 is very honest about this, and it says, the whole creation groans in travail together until now. Even those of us whose faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ for everlasting life, who are part of the family of God. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. We too suffer. We have hurt and we have pain and we groan inside to be delivered from this world. It's very real, this pain and hurt, the agony, sickness that we live in. And the Bible never hides that fact. If you do a Bible search with these three words, pain, hurt, and sickness, you might be shocked at how often those words are found in the Bible. Almost every book of the Bible has one of those three words in it. You can search it yourself. But if we focus on the Bible, we'll find out the Bible is very honest about this and never hides the fact that this is a very troubled world under the watch care of God Almighty, the Creator, and the one who will in the end be King of all, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows about the pain. But there is a problem with our faulty assumptions. Let me give you three of them. Faulty assumptions people reach when they look out on a world with hurting people whose lives are filled with pain and sickness. Faulty assumption number one, God is supposed to fix this if he can. And if God can't fix this, then, well, he's not God. He doesn't exist at all. But now, friend, is this a true assumption? It's a faulty one. God is supposed to fix it assumes that God has taken it as his job to fix the problems of a fallen, broken world. And friend, God has just never taken that as one of his responsibilities. The fallen world came because of sin, and that sin bears its consequences to this day in this world. Oh, God has the power to fix it. In the book of Deuteronomy, he even told a limited group of people, Israel, that they would not have the diseases that would be common in Egypt because they belong to God. But we cannot use a verse like that, written to Israel in a time, a promise from God, that God absolutely kept for his time, and apply that across the board to people today, and certainly believers today who have pain, as though we're beyond that. We're too good for that. And that's a faulty assumption. Assumption number two, then, is that some people are just too good to be touched by pain and hurt and suffering and sickness. That's a faulty assumption, friend. It doesn't line up if we focus on the Bible. There is John the Apostle. He's the best friend of Jesus when Jesus was in the world. And John, after serving the Lord since the time he knew the Lord and was called off that fishing boat to be a disciple of Jesus and a fisher of men, having served the Lord faithfully in his 80s, was dropped into a pot of boiling oil. John wasn't too good to suffer. Now, the Lord delivered him from that pot of boiling oil, and he was exiled to Patmos, the island, where he gave us the last book in our Bible, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's another John. John, we call him the Baptist. They brought his head in, severed on a silver platter for a wicked king. And then there's Paul the Apostle, wrote 13 or 14 books of the New Testament, beheaded. And while he was in Roman custody in the final years of his life, there he is under arrest as he writes his final letter, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he gives a call to Timothy to please come to him and bring his scriptures with him. But here's what Paul the Apostle says. He says, "Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus." Now, the "but" is a word to pay attention to. He just listed a number of saints, and he wishes them well under good conditions as they serve the Lord. But then there's Trophimus. Where is Trophimus? He says, Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. So here's the Apostle Paul that in an earlier time, he had power to heal people. Obviously now he doesn't have the power to heal Trophimus, but had to leave him behind because he was too sick to travel on. So I just named four people right out of the Bible. There are plenty more that we might expect because they're so close to God. They won't be sick. They won't get hurt. They're not going to have pain. Not true. Pain, sickness, and hurt, friend, is universal even in the pages of the Bible. Let's go to another text that might enlighten us. John chapter 9. Here's the case of a blind child. As Jesus passed by, verse 1, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So the disciples have a question. Well, he's got to be in that category of people who have a lot of sin. Otherwise, he wouldn't be born as a blind baby, would he, Lord? So who sinned, this kid or his parents? Jesus gives the correction. Verse 3, Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So this one was sick for a higher purpose that the disciples couldn't see. I don't think we could have seen it either. He was born blind for the glory of God, and in his good time, Jesus is going to heal that blind kid. Is that good? Is that good? It's a faulty assumption that some people are just too good to be true. Faulty assumption number 3, pain, hurt, and sickness is okay as long as those things are for bad people. But we see this corrected, don't we? No, it's not just for bad people. It's also for good people. Pain, hurt, and sickness are universal conditions in a fallen world today because of that fall. So let's go right to the source. What is the source of all this pain and hurt in the world that breaks our hearts like Charles Templeton? It's the fall. Genesis in chapter 3, God deals with the aftermath of sin in the world. To the woman, he says in Genesis chapter 3 now, verse number 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. He then turns to the man. Verse 17, unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Friend, the Lord did not build that garden that we would sin, get sick, and one day die. We weren't made to die. We weren't made to have pain and sickness and hurt in this world. But all these consequences are a result of our problem with sin. It's the source of our pain and hurt. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 makes this so clear in the Bible. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin brought it in. Sin brought it in. And friend, we are lousy at thinking like God does. We pass our own judgments. We blame God. We think we could do a better job than God. But the thing we lack is the mind and the omniscience and the omnipotence of God. There is a God. He is for a time allowing pain, sickness, hurt, and death in a world. But friend, I know this, in a fallen world, God is working on many ways at many levels. And Jesus Christ himself was hurt and died for all our sin.
This episode is a production of Focus Evangelistic Ministries Incorporated. For questions or comments about this episode or another biblical topic, you can write to us at Focus Ministries Incorporated, P.O. Box 498, Danielsville, Georgia, 30633. For more information about our ministry, you can visit our website, freddycoyle.org. That's F-R-E-D-D-Y-C-O-Y-L-E www.fdiecoile.org. We hope to see you again for next week's episode of Focus on the Bible.